wearing a bright pink lace dress that looks the opposite of what I'm feeling.
Is Rocio here?
She's out, taking a test. I swallow, my mind still reeling from the phone call. Phone calls.
Can I help you with anything? No, I just wanted to ask her if...
She shrugs uncomfortably, flushes a little, but then quickly adds,
I was surprised you weren't at the meeting this morning.
I tilt my head. What meeting?
The one with the astronauts.
The knots in my stomach tighten. I don't like where this is going. The astronauts?
Yeah, the one Levi and Guy organized. For feedback. To brainstorm options for the helmets. It was really useful.
When was it scheduled for?
This morning, 8 a.m. It was set up last week and...
Kaylee's eyes widen.
You knew about it, right?
I look away and shake my head. This is humiliating and infuriating and other things too.
Oh my God.
She sounds genuinely distraught.
I am so sorry. I have no idea how that could happen.
I exhale a silent, bitter laugh. I do.
Is there anything I can do to fix this? As project manager, I want to apologize. No,
I paste a smile on my face. It's not your fault, Kaylee. You've been great. I'm tempted to explain to her that her boss has also been great. A great pain in my ass. But I don't want to put her in an uncomfortable position. And I'm not sure I trust myself not to blurt out a string of insults. I sit for a long time after she leaves, staring at the empty desks, the empty chairs, the empty white walls of my supposed office where I am supposed to do the science that will supposedly launch my career and make a happy, fulfilled woman out of me. I sit until my hands are not shaking and my chest doesn't feel like it's being squeezed by a large hand anymore. Then I stand, take a deep breath, and march straight to Levi's office. I knock, but I don't bother waiting for a response. I open the door, close it behind me, and start speaking as soon as I'm in, my arms folded on my chest. For reasons I cannot discern, I'm smiling.
Why?
Levi's gaze lifts from his computer screen to me, and his double take is small but noticeable. He always has the same look in his eyes when he first sees me, a flash of panic. Then he collects himself and his entire face shudders. He should really work on expanding his emotional range. What does he think I'm going to do anyway? Convert him to Scientology? Sell him Avon products? Give him full-blown typhoid?
Really, I just want to know why. I'm not even asking you to stop. I just need to know why. Do I smell like cilantro? Did I steal your parking spot in grad school? Do I remind you of the kid who poured Snapple on your Game Boy when you were about to finish The Legend of Zelda?
He blinks at me from his chair and has the audacity to look confused. I have to give it to him. He has giant balls, likely to compensate for his micro dick.
What are you talking about?
My smile turns bitter.
Levi, please.
I have no idea what you're referring to, but I'm really busy, so...
See, I'm not. I'm not busy at all. I haven't been this unbusy since I was on summer break in middle school. But you know that already, so... Why?
He sits back in his chair. Even half hidden by his desk, his presence is overwhelming. Winter frosty, snow-covered spruces his eyes...
There are things I need to be doing right this moment. Can we schedule a meeting for another time?
I laugh softly.
Sure. Should I send you an email?
That works.
I bet. Will it get the same number of answers as the other emails I sent you?
He frowns.
Of course.
Zero, then.
He frowns harder.
I've answered all your emails.
Is that so?
I don't believe it for a second. Then maybe it's an email problem.
If I were to check my spam folder, I'd find a message from you inviting me to this morning's meeting. That's the moment something shifts. The moment Levi realizes that he's going to have to deal with me. He stands, walks around his desk, leans against it. He folds his arms on his chest and regards me calmly for a moment. Look at us, just two arch nemeses casually standing in front of each other in fake relaxed poses while tumbleweeds roll their merry way around us. A modern spaghetti western. I shoot first. So, it's all a big email misunderstanding? He doesn't answer, just stares somewhere above my right shoulder. It checks out. Emails that should be delivered aren't. Emails that shouldn't are. It would explain the one that canceled the order for my TMS equipment. It probably just sent itself. Vigilante emails going rogue. Uh-oh, Outlook's in trouble. His fake calm is getting less convincing. If you think about it, it's the only possible explanation. Because last week, when I asked you if you had an ETA, you said that we were close, and you would never lie to me, would you? His annoyingly handsome face hardens. Yes, even more than usual.
I would not lie to you.
He says it in an earnest, pissed-off tone, as though it's important to him that I believe him. Huh. I'm sure you wouldn't. I push away from the door and amble around the office. And you would not single me out to point out a dress code that is obviously never enforced, nor would you make it impossible for me to get into my office without having to beg to be let in. I stop in front of a library shelf. Scattered between the engineering tomes, I notice a handful of personal items. They humanize Levi in a way I'm not ready for. A child's drawing of a black cat, a few bobbleheads from sci-fi movies, two framed pictures. One is Levi and another tall, dark-haired man free-climbing a rock formation. The other, a woman, very beautiful, long, dark blonde hair, young, probably Levi's age. She smiles at the camera, holding a toddler with a full head of dark curls. The frame is clearly homemade. Buttons and shells and sticks glued together. My heart lurches, heavy. I knew he had a child. I've even turned this piece of information around in my head several times since finding out. And I'm not surprised that he's married. He doesn't wear a ring, but that doesn't mean anything. I often do wear a ring, and I'm most definitely not married. Honestly, I'm not sure why this hits me so hard. I certainly have no personal stake in Levi's romantic life, and I don't usually go about feeling jealous when people find themselves happily paired. But the domesticity that the picture conjures, just like the soft, intimate tone his voice took last week when he answered the call, very clearly, Levi has a home, a place in the world just for himself, someone to go back to every night. And on top of that, his career is more stable than mine. Levi Ward, lord of 1,000 glares and 1,000,000 rude nods, belongs. And I don't. The universe is truly not fair. I sigh, defeated, and turn around to face him. Just tell me why, Levi.
It's a complicated situation.
Is it? Seems pretty simple. He shakes his head, carefully considers what to say, and then somehow lands on the most ridiculous 5 words I've ever heard.
Give me a few days.
A few days? Levi Rocio and I moved here to work. We left our friends, families, partners in Maryland, and now we're twiddling our thumbs.
Then go home for a few days.
His tone is harsh.
Visit your partner, come back later.
That's not the damn point. I aggressively run a hand through my bangs. Rika said that I should confront him calmly, but that horse is out of the stable and galloping around the moors. I'm pretty sure Levi's neighbors can hear me raise my voice, and I'm fully okay with it. I have the head of NIH wanting progress reports from me, and my boss threatening to send in someone else if I don't get him results soon. I need my equipment. I'm not asking you to do this for me. Do it for the project. I must have moved closer. Or maybe he to me. Because all of a sudden, I can smell him. Pine and soap and clean male skin. Do you even care about Blink? His eyes blaze.
I care. Do not ever imply otherwise.
He grits out, leaning forward. I've never hated someone this intensely. I never will again. I believe it as deeply as I do cell theory. You sure don't act like you do.
You don't know what you're talking about.
And you, I step closer, stabbing my finger into his chest, don't know how to run a project.
I am asking you to trust me.
Trust you? I laugh in his face. Why the hell should I trust you? I stab my finger at him again, and this time he closes his palm around it to stop me. Something odd happens. His grip slides down to my palm, and for a moment, he's almost holding my hand in his. It makes my skin tingle and my breath catch. His too. It must be his cue to realize that he's touching me. Me, the most abhorrent creature of the seven seas. He lets go immediately as if burned.
I am doing what I can,
he begins. Which is nothing.
With the resources I have.
Oh, come on.
And there are things you don't know.
Then tell me. Explain. The ensuing silence clenches it for me. The way his jaw tightens. The fact that he straightens and turns abruptly, pacing three steps away as though he is finished with this. With me. You never even started, asshole. Right. Well, I shrug. I'm going to your superior, Levi. He gives me a shocked look.
What?
Oh, now he is worried. How the worm has turned. How the cookie crumbles. I need to get Blink started. You're leaving me no choice but to go over your head.
Over my head?
He briefly closes his eyes.
There is no such thing.
I sputter. God, this man's ego must have its own gravitational field. He's a human pit stuffed full of dark matter and hubris. Do you even hear yourself?
Don't do it, B.
Why shouldn't I? Are you going to call Stimcase and get me my equipment? Are you going to get us an office that isn't away from everyone? Are you going to start inviting us to essential meetings?
It's not that simple.
What an asswipe. But it is. It's pretty damn simple, and if you don't commit to fixing this, you don't get to tell me not to go to your superior.
You don't want to do that.
Is he threatening me? See, I thought so too, but now I'm pretty sure I do. Watch me. I spin on my heels and head for the door, ready to walk straight to Boris's office. But when my hand is on the knob, something occurs to me and I turn around. And one more thing, I snarl into his stony face. Vegan donuts are for vegans, you absolute walnut! Levi can't be too distressed by our conversation, because he doesn't even attempt to come after me. I'm pumped full of rage and want to march to Boris, but I run into Rocio down the hallway. She's dragging her feet, staring vacantly at the floor like an inmate on death row, even more than usual. I stop. As impatient as I am to get my equipment and ruin a career, I think I love Rocio more than I hate Levi. Though it's a close call. How did the GRE go? The graduate record examination is like the SATs. A stupid standardized test on which students need to get an absurdly high score to be accepted into grad school, even though it tests nothing that has to do with academic success. I remember agonizing over my scores in my last year of college, terrified that they wouldn't be high enough to get me into the same programs as Tim. As it turned out, mine were higher than his, and I ended up with several more acceptances than he had. In hindsight, I should have gone to UCLA and left him behind. It would have saved me a lot of heartache and minimized my word-ass exposure.
B. Rocio shakes her head gloomily. Which way is the ocean?
I point to my left. She immediately begins shuffling her feet in that direction. Ro, you first have to get out of the building and... What are you doing?
I shall walk into the sea. Farewell.
Wait! I circle around her. How did it go? She shakes her head again. Her eyes are red-rimmed.
Low.
How low?
Too low.
Well, you don't need 99th percentile to get into Johns Hopkins. 40th for quantitative, 52nd for verbal.
Okay, that is low.
And you can always retake.
For $200, and it's my third time. I don't get any better no matter how much I practice. It's like I'm jinxed.
She stares into the distance.
Is it La Llorona? Does she want me to quit academia and haunt creeks with her? Perhaps I should depart my scientific pursuits.
No, I'll help you get your scores up, okay?
How? Will you cast a counterspell? Will you promise her your firstborn and the blood of 100 virgin ravens?
What? No, I'll tutor you.
Tutor me? She scowls. Can you even do math?
I don't point out that my entire body of work consists of high-level statistics applied to the study of the brain, and instead pull her in for a hug.
It'll be okay. I promise.
What's happening? Why are you squeezing me with your body? The entire conversation lasts less than 10 minutes, but it proves to be a fatal mistake. Because by the time I'm on the mostly deserted third floor of the building, standing outside Boris's office and ready to rat Levi out within an inch of his life, the door is closed, and I can hear voices inside. And one of those voices is Levi Ward's. 6. Heschel's Gyrus. Hear, hear.
I cannot believe he got to Boris before I could. I cannot believe he sneaked past me while I was talking with Rocio. Though I absolutely should, since it's the exact kind of dick move I've come to expect from him. I actually stomp my foot like a surly 6-year-old. That's what I've been reduced to. What do I do? Do I barge in and stop Levi from poisoning Boris's mind with lies? Do I wait for Levi to get out and focus on damage control? Do I curl into a ball and cry? Dr. Curie would know what to do. Dr. Königswasser, on the other hand, is looking around like a lost calf, grateful that there's no one around to see her sulking outside the director of research's office. When I decided to become a scientist, I figured I'd grapple with theoretical framework issues, research protocols, statistical modeling. Instead, here I am living my best high school life. And then I realize I can make out some words.
Unprofessional,
Levi is saying.
I agree,
Boris replies.
And not conducive to scientific progress.
He sounds calmly exasperated, which should be technically impossible, but Levi does have a knack for bringing oxymorons to life.
The situation is unsustainable. I fully agree. You've said that every time we've talked before, but I doubt you understand how catastrophic the long-term repercussions can be for Blink, for NIH, and for NASA. And this is unpleasant on an interpersonal level, too.
I lean closer to the door, white-knuckled. I cannot believe he's feeding Boris this crap. I am unpleasant to him? How? By being offensive to look at? I'm about to slam the door open to defend myself. When he continues.
She cannot continue like this. Something must be done.
Oh my God. Am I trapped in a bizarro dimension?
Okay, what would you have me do with her?
I'm going to screech. Whatever Levi says, it's going to make me yell with rage. I'm already vibrating with an unscreamed howl. It's rising up my throat.
I want you to let her do her job.
up and up and up my larynx, through my vocal box, and... Wait, what? What did Levi say?
I've done as much as I can.
Boris is faintly apologetic. Levi, on the other hand, is hard and uncompromising.
It's not enough. I need her to have authorized access to every Blink-related area in the building, to have a NASA.gov email address, to attend project meetings. I need every single piece of equipment she asked for to be here now. It should have arrived ages ago.
You're the one who canceled the order that was placed.
Because it wasn't the system she asked for. Why would I blow a chunk of our budget on an inferior product?
Levi, just like I told you every single day you've come to me with this last week, sometimes it's not about science, it's about politics. I am fully leaning my ear and palms against the door now. My fingers shake against the wood, but I don't feel them. I'm numb.
Politics is above my pay grade, Boris.
Not above mine. We've been over this. Things have changed a lot and very quickly. The director was on board with an NIH-NASA collaboration as long as NASA got credit and autonomy on the project. Then NIH insisted on having a larger role. NASA can't have it.
NASA must have it.
The director is under lots of pressure. The possible ramifications are huge. If we patent the technology, there's no telling how widely it can be applied and what the revenue might be. He doesn't want NIH to own half of the patent. A pause, brimming with frustration. I can almost picture Levi running a hand through his hair.
NASA doesn't have the budget to do the project alone. That's why NIH was brought in to begin with. Are you telling me that they'd rather have Blink not happen at all than share the credit? And who will be in charge of the neuroscience portion?
Dr. Koenigswasser is not the only neuroscientist in the world. We have several at NASA who are
not nearly as good as her. Not when it comes to neurostimulation.
This is bizarro world. More bizarre than I could ever imagine. I'm in the upside down. My heart's thudding in my ears, and Levi Ward just said something nice about me. A cold, slimy feeling coils in the pit of my stomach. I might throw up, except that I'm completely hollow. I was full of rage when I came here, but that's draining.
We'll make do, Levi. Blink will be moved to the next budget review, and by then, NASA will approve full funding. That way, we won't need NIH. You'll still be in charge. That's a year from now, and you can't guarantee that. Just like you can't guarantee that the Sullivan prototype will be used.
A pause.
Son, I understand this is important to you. I feel the same, but I doubt it. Excuse me?
Levi's voice could cut titanium.
I seriously doubt you feel the same. Levi, if you do, authorize the equipment purchase.
A sigh.
Levi, I like you. I really do. You're a smart guy. One of the best engineers I know, maybe the best. But you're young and have no idea about the pressure everyone's under. Blink's unlikely to happen this year. Better make peace with it.
Seconds pass. I can't hear Levi's reply, so I lean in even farther, which turns out to be a terrible idea because the door swings open. I jump back quickly enough that Boris doesn't see me. But when Levi steps outside, I'm still standing right there by the office. He slams the door and begins stalking away angrily. Then he notices me and freezes. He looks furious. And big. Furiously big. I should say something. Play it cool. Make it seem like I only just wandered here, looking for the office supply closet. Oh, Levi, do you know where they keep the pencil sharpeners? Problem is, that ship has long sailed. And while we study each other with equally raw expressions, I experience an odd, transient feeling. Like, this is the first time Levi sees me. No, not quite. Like, this is the first time I see him. like the elaborate maze of mirrors through which we've been looking at each other has been shattered, the shards swept away. I can't bear it. I lower my gaze to my feet. Thankfully, the feeling dissolves as I stare at the pretty daisies on my faux leather sandals. My fingers need to quit shaking or I'll chop them off. If my tear ducts dare to let even a single drop slip through, I'll tie them shut forever. I'm almost ready to look up again without making a fool of myself when a large hand closes firmly around my elbow. Shouldn't have worn a sleeveless top today.
What are you?
Levi lifts one finger to his lips to signal me to be quiet and leads me away from the office.
Where?
I start, but he interrupts me with a low whisper.
Hush.
His grip is gentle but tight around my flesh. I'm dismayed to find that it seems to help with my nausea. Without having a clue of what to do, I close my eyes and follow his lead. I'm a slow processor. Always have been. When my Nona died, everyone around me had been sobbing for several minutes by the time I finally parsed what the white-haired doctor was saying. When Rika decided to take a gap decade to go travel the world, I didn't realize how lonely I'd be until she was on a plane to Indonesia. When Tim moved out of our apartment, the implications only hit me several days later, the moment I found two of his mismatched socks still in the dryer. Probably why the enormity of what I heard outside Boris's office doesn't fully dawn on me until I'm on one of the benches in the little picnic area behind the Discovery Building, elbows on my knees and forehead in my hands. It's such a lovely spot. The shades of two cedar elms and a live oak cross right where I'm sitting. I need to eat lunch out here from now on, I think. Then my lean cuisines won't stink up the office. My stomach twists. There might not be an on from this now.
Are you okay?
I glance up and up and up. Levi is standing in front of me, still icily furious, but more in control. Like he counted to 10 to calm down a bit, but would gladly go back to 1 and flip a desk or 3. There's a hint of concern in his eyes. And for some reason, I'm thinking again of him pinning me to the wall, of the smell of his skin, the feeling of his hard muscles under my fingers. There's something very wrong with my brain.
I double-checked,
he murmurs.
I received 7 emails from you, and all my replies were sent. I'm not sure why they didn't deliver. I'm assuming the same happened to the one guy sent to invite you to today's meeting. And I take responsibility for it. You should have a NASA email address by now.
The weather outside is perfectly nice, but I'm cold and sweaty at the same time. What a complex organism, my body. Why? I ask. I'm not even sure what I'm referring to. He exhales slowly.
How much did you hear?
I don't know. A lot. He nods.
NASA wants exclusive control of whatever patent comes out of Blink, but it currently doesn't have the budget to pull off the project. And there was some arm twisting to include NIH. But NIH is insisting on co-owning the patent, and NASA decided that letting Blink die a natural death is better than picking a fight with NIH.
And this is it? The natural death? He doesn't answer. Simply continuing to study me with worry and something else. Something I can't quite put my finger on. It's unsettling, and I nearly laugh when I realize why. This is the first time Levi has sustained eye contact with me for more than a second. The first time his eyes don't flit away to some point above my head right after meeting mine. I turn away. I'm not in the mood for ice cream.
What if I told NIH?
A brief hesitation.
You could.
But?
No buts. It'd be fully within your rights. I'll support you if you need me to.
But? I look at him. There are small scratches on his hand. Hairs dust his forearm. His shirt stretches across his shoulder. He's so imposing from this angle, even more than usual. What did they feed him growing up? Fertilizer?
If you told NIH, the only outcome I can imagine is NIH pulling out and the relationship between NIH and the human research branch of NASA souring. Blink would be shelved until...
until next year, and it would still be a NASA-only project. Either way, I'm screwed. Catch 22. Never liked that novel.
I'm not saying you shouldn't do it,
he says carefully.
But if the endgame is to make Blink happen as a collaborative project, it might not be the best move.
Not to mention that I'd need to get Trevor to believe that this isn't my fault. Seems like I'd have better luck just telling him that NASA has been taken over by shape-shifting aliens. Yeah, I'll try that. Might as well. What's the alternative? I ask. I see none.
I've been working on it.
How?
I think having Boris on our side would help immensely. And there are things that I might be able to leverage to persuade him.
And how are those things working out for you? He gives me a dirty look, but there's no real heat behind it.
Not great. Yet.
He grumbles. No shit, Sherlock. Basically, I'm the only person in the world who wants Blink to happen now. He frowns.
I want it to.
I remember his earlier anger, when I accused him of not caring. God, that was probably less than an hour ago. Feels like 9 decades.
And so do other people. The engineers, the astronauts, contractors who'd be out of a job if it were postponed.
His broad shoulders seem to deflate a bit.
Though you and I seem to be the highest ranking people on board, which is why we need Boris.
It sounds like if you sit tight for a few months, the project will fall in your lap and—
No.
He shakes his head.
Blink has to happen now. If it's delayed, there's a chance that I won't be in charge or that the original prototype will be modified.
He sounds so uncompromising. I wonder if this is his pick up your toys and go to bed dad voice. It sure seems effective. If I end up having kids, I hope I can pull off something this authoritative. Still, you'll be fine no matter what. I can't keep the bitterness out of my tone. While NIH is making personnel cuts and the main criterion is successfully completed grants, which I don't have because of reasons. Reasons that have little to do with me not trying or not being a good scientist, which I am. I promise I am good at this, and—
I know you are,
he interrupts. He sounds sincere.
And this project is not just another assignment for me. I transferred teams to be here. I pulled strings.
I run a hand down my face. What a dumpster fire. You could have told me that NASA was roadblocking, instead of letting me believe that you were— He looks at me blankly.
That I was—
You know, trying to oust me for the usual reasons.
The usual reasons?
Yeah, I shrug. From grad school.
What reasons from grad school?
Just the fact that you, you know.
I'm not sure I do.
I scratch my forehead, exhausted. That you despise me. He gives me an astonished look, like I just coughed up a hairball. Like the person who avoided me like I was a flesh-eating porcupine was his evil twin. He's speechless for a moment, and then says, somehow managing to sound honest,
B, I don't despise you.
Wow. Wow, for so many reasons. The blatant lie, for instance, like he doesn't consider me the human equivalent of gas station sushi. But also, this is the first time Levi has used my name. I haven't kept track or anything, but there's something so uniquely him in the way he says the word. I could never forget. Right. He keeps staring at me with the same disoriented, earnest expression. I snort and smile. I guess I must have misread every single one of our grad school interactions then. He did tell Boris I'm a good neuroscientist. So maybe he doesn't think I'm incompetent like I always suspected. Maybe he just hates literally everything else about me. Lovely.
You know I don't despise you.
He insists with a hint of accusation.
Sure I do. B.
He says my name again, with that voice, and all I see is red. But of course, I know. How could I not know when you've been so relentlessly cold, arrogant, and unapproachable? I stand, anger bubbling up my throat. For years, you have avoided me, refused to collaborate with me without valid reasons, denied me even minimally polite conversation, treated me as though I was repulsive and inferior. You even told my fiancé that he should marry someone else. But of course, you don't despise me, Levi. His Adam's apple bobs. He stares at me like that, stricken, disconcerted, like I just hit him with a polo mallet, when all I've done is tell the truth. My eyes sting. I bite my lip to keep the tears at bay. But my stupid body betrays me once again, and I'm crying. I'm crying in front of him, and I hate him. I'm not mad at him. I hate him. For the way he's treated me, for having the solid career I don't, for concealing the politics of this damn septic tank of a project. I hate him, hate him, hate him, with a passion I thought I could only reserve for defective airbags, or Tim, or the third move of the year. I hate him for reducing me to this, and for sticking around to see his handiwork. I hate him, and I don't want to feel so much.
B,
this is not worth it. I wipe my cheek with the back of my hand and walk past without looking at him. Of course, he has to be massive and make that hard, too.
Wait.
I'll tell NIH about what's happening, I say without stopping or turning back. I can't risk my superiors thinking that the project failed because of me. I'm sorry if that puts you in a bad position, and I'm sorry if that means delaying Blink.
That's okay, but please wait.
No, I don't want to wait, or to listen to even one more word. I keep on walking in my pretty daisy sandals until I can't hear him anymore, until I can't see through the blur of my tears. I walk out of the Space Center and fantasize that I'm leaving Houston, Texas, the United States. I fantasize about getting on a plane and flying to Portugal to get a hug from Rika. I fantasize all the way home, and it doesn't make me feel any better. I'm staring at my phone. Just that, brooding and staring at my phone, when a Twitter notification pops up on my screen. At Sabri Rocks 95. Second year geology PhD student going through a rough patch here. At what would Marie do if she felt like the universe is trying to tell her to give up? Ouch. This one hits a little too close. My sense of helplessness reached critical mass earlier today, halfway through Alanis Morissette's discography and well past my second tub of orange sherbet. I feel like I was run through a paper shredder, like a used Q-tip, a flushable wipe, not fit to give advice to the moth that's been fluttering against my window, let alone an intelligent young woman with career trouble. I retweet, hoping that the WWMD community will take care of at Sabri Rocks 95. Maybe I should quit academia, I muse, leaning back in my chair, staring across the open-plan kitchen to Dr. Curie's magnet. Should I quit my job? Marie doesn't reply. Silent approval? There are things I could do. Brush up on the German accusative and meet Rika in Greece, where olive oil tycoons would hire us to instruct their teenaged heirs. Shop that sitcom idea I once had. A Bayesian statistician and a frequentist become reluctant roommates. Write my mermaid YA series. Move under a bridge and ask riddles in exchange for safe passage. Maybe I shouldn't quit. At least one Königswasser twin needs a stable job to post bail when the other gets arrested for indecent exposure. Knowing Rika, that's any day now. Then again, I'm fairly sure that without Blink, Trevor won't renew my contract anyway. My career is the ultimate unrequited love story, littered with well-reviewed grants that never got funded for political reasons, a shitty boss instead of the rock star I was promised, and now NIH and NASA petty fighting like cousins at Thanksgiving. When your supposed big break turns into a losing game, that's when you cut your losses, right? But what would be left of me without neuroscience? Who would I even be without my burning need to correct people who say that humans use only 10% of their brain? They even made a movie about this. For fuck's sake, does no one fact-check Hollywood scripts? Did you know that conservatives tend to have larger amygdalae than liberals? That taxi drivers' hippocampi grow bigger as they memorize how to navigate London? That brain differences predict variations in personality? We are our nervous systems, the complex combination of billions of neurons firing in distinctive patterns. What's more exciting than spending my life figuring out what a little chunk of these neurons can accomplish? I avoid my reflection as I brush my teeth. Maybe I love what I do too much. I should go back to school for something boring. Auctioneering, naval architecture, sports broadcasting. I should also stop crying. Or maybe not. Maybe I should feel all my feelings now, so I can be solution-oriented later. All wept out for tomorrow when I explain this mess to Trevor. When I tell Rocio to pack her bags. The second my head touches my pillow, I know I'll explode if I don't do something. Anything. On impulse, I message Schmack. Marie, do you ever think of leaving research? His reply is immediate. Schmack, sure am today. Marie, you hate your life too? What are the chances? Schmack,
maybe we're the same astrological sign.
Marie, LOL. Schmack,
what's going on?
Marie, my project's a shit show, and I'm working with this total camel dick who's the worst. I bet he's one of those assholes who doesn't switch to airplane mode during takeoff, Schmack. He probably bites into popsicles. I'm positive he sneezes in his palm and then shakes people's hands. Schmack,
eerily specific.
Marie, but true. Schmack,
I don't doubt it.
Marie, how's the girl? Schmack,
still married. Plus, she probably thinks I'm a camel dick.
Marie, she could never. You two having a torrid affair yet? Schmack,
the opposite.
Marie, did she at least get ugly while she was gone? Schmack,
she's still the most beautiful thing I've ever seen.
My heart skips a beat. Oh, Schmack. Schmack,
that aside, I've been thinking about how much easier my life would be if I quit and became a cat trainer. Except I can't even convince my cat not to piss under my living room carpet.
Marie, I can see how that would be an issue. Marie, do you ever feel like we put too much of ourselves into this? Schmack,
on the bad days, for sure.
Marie, are there good days? Ever? Schmack,
my last one was in middle school. Second place at the science fair.
Marie, did you win a Toys R Us gift certificate? Schmack,
nope. A Marie Curie bobblehead, holding two beakers that glow in the dark.
Marie, OMG, I would murder for that. Schmack,
if we ever meet in person, it's yours.
We chat for a long time, and it's nice to commiserate while it lasts. But once I set my phone on the nightstand, I feel hopeless again. The last thing I see before falling asleep is Levi's stricken expression when I threw at him all the things he did to me, painted on the back of my eyelids like the poster of a movie I never want to watch again. 7. Orbitofrontal cortex. Hope. My alarm rings, but I let it snooze.
Once, twice, three times, 5, 8, 12. Why the hell is it still ringing? Why did I even set it?
B?
I open my eyes. Barely. They're bleary, sticky with sleep.
B?
Crap. I inadvertently answered a call from an unknown number.
Sh-sh-she?
I slur. Then I spit out my retainer. Sorry. This is she?
I need you to come in right now.
I instantly recognize the baritone. Levi? I blink at my alarm. It's 6:43 a.m. I can't keep my lids up.
What? Come where?
Can you be in Boris's office by 7?
That makes me sit up in bed, or as close as I can manage at this hour. What are you talking about?
Do you want to stay and work on Blink?
His voice is firm, decisive. I can hear background noise. He must be outside walking somewhere.
What?
Have you told NIH about what NASA is doing yet?
Not yet, but...
Then do you want to stay and work on Blink?
I press my palm into my eye. This is a nightmare, right? I thought we agreed that's not an option.
It might be now. I have... something.
A pause.
A bit of a gamble, though.
What is it?
Something that'll get Boris to support us.
He cuts off for a second.
Can't explain on the phone.
It sounds sketchy. Like he's trying to lure me to a secondary location to traffic me to people who'll harvest my femurs to make handles for badminton rackets. Can't we just meet later?
No. Boris is having a call with the NASA director in 1 hour. We need to catch him before then.
I run a hand over my face. I'm way too pooped for this. Levi, this sounds very weird, and I just woke up. If you're trying to get me alone to assassinate me, could we just go ahead, pretend you did it, and go our separate ways?
Listen, what you said yesterday.
He must have stepped inside, because the background noise is gone. His voice is rich and deep in my ear. I think I can actually hear him swallow.
There is no other neuroscientist I'd want to do this project with. Not a single one.
It's a blow to the sternum. The words knock the air out of my lungs, and a weird, nonsensical, untimely thought crosses my mind. It's not that surprising that this broody, reserved man snagged himself a beautiful bride. Not if he's capable of saying things like this. At least I'm awake now. What's happening?
B, do you want to stay in Houston and work on Blink?
He asks again. But this time, after a pause, he adds,
with me.
That's when I know that I'm a lunatic. Insane. An utterly insane lunatic. Because my alarm says 6:45 a.m., and a shiver runs down my spine, or where my spine would be if I had one. I screw my eyes shut, and the word that comes out of my mouth is, yeah. I stumble out of the elevator 7:02, energized by a night of restful sleep and dressed for success. Just kidding. I'm wearing leggings and a flannel shirt. I forgot to put on a bra, and having to choose between brushing my teeth and washing my face, I went for the former, which means that when Levi spots me, I'm frantically trying to scrape sleep boogers from my eyes. I feel jittery and drowsy, the worst possible combination. Levi is waiting by Boris's office, put together like it's not the middle of the night, and knocks on the door the moment he sees me. I break into a light jog, and by the time I get there, I'm also sweaty and out of breath. My life is so lovely as a spinal tap. What is going on?
No time to explain, but like I said, it's a gamble. Pretend you already know when we're in there.
I frown. No, what? Boris yells at us to come in.
Just follow my lead,
Levi says, gesturing me inside. We're supposed to be co-leads, I mutter. The corner of his lip twitches up.
Follow my co-lead, then.
Please tell me this mess doesn't end in a murder-suicide. He opens the door and shrugs, ushering me in with a hand between my shoulder blades.
Guess we'll see.
Boris had no idea we'd show up. His eyes roll and narrow, a mix of, I'm tired and not you two, and I don't have time for this. And he stands from behind his desk with his hands on his hips. I take a step back. What is this car crash of a meeting? What did I get myself into? And why, oh why, did I ever think that trusting Levi Ward would be a good idea?
No, Boris says. Levi, I'm not going to go over this again, and not in front of an NIH employee. I have a meeting that I need to prep for, so...
The annoyance in his voice fades, as Levi, unruffled, sets his phone on the desk. There's a picture on the screen, but I can't make out what it is. I push up on my toes and lean forward to see, but Levi pulls on the back of my flannel and lifts one eyebrow, which I believe means you're supposed to follow my lead. I frown in my best, sure would be nice to know what's going on, but whatever. When I glance at Boris, there's a deep horizontal line in the middle of his forehead.
Did you make some changes to the helmet prototype? I don't remember authorizing. I did not. This doesn't look like what I approved. It's not.
Levi holds out his hand, and when Boris returns the phone, he pulls up another picture. A person wearing something on their head. The line on Boris's brow deepens even more.
When was the picture taken? That I'd rather not say.
Boris's gaze sharpens.
Levi, if you're making this up because of yesterday's conversation, the name of the company is MagTech. They are very well established, based in Rotterdam, and do science tech. They've been open about the fact that they're working on wireless neurostimulation helmets.
A pause.
They have a fairly long history of supplying armed forces and militias with combat gadgets. Which armed forces? Whoever can pay. How far ahead are they? Based on those blueprints and on my contacts' information, pretty much where Blink's at.
He holds Boris's eyes a little too intensely.
At least where Blink was at, before it was shelved.
Boris risks a quick glance at me.
Technically, the project was never shelved, he says defensively. Technically.
There is something commanding about the way Levi talks, even to his boss. Boris flushes and returns the phone. I pluck it from Levi's hand before he can pocket it and study the pictures. It's a neurostimulation helmet. The blueprints and the prototype. Not quite ours, but similar. Scarily similar. Oh shit, we have competition similar.
Do they know about Blink?
Boris is asking.
Unclear, but they wouldn't have seen our prototype.
They don't have a neuroscientist on their team. Not a good one, I add distractedly.
How do you know that?
Boris asks. I shrug. Well, it's pretty obvious. They're making the same mistake Levi is. The output locations. Honestly, why can't engineers ever be bothered to consult with experts outside of their discipline? Is it part of vector calculus? First rule of engineering, do not display weakness. Never ask questions. Better to finish a wrong, unusable prototype on your own than to collaborate with. I look up. Notice the way Boris and Levi are staring at me, and slap my mouth shut. I really shouldn't be allowed in public before coffee. Point is, I say after clearing my throat, they're not doing so hot, and as soon as they start trying out the helmet in action, they'll realize it. I give Levi's phone back, and his fingers brush mine, rough and warm. Our eyes meet for a split second, then flit away.
The blueprint.
Boris says.
And the picture. Where did you get them? That's not important.
Boris's eyes go dinner plate wide.
Please tell me my lead engineer didn't just jeopardize his career by engaging in some light industrial espionage. Boris,
Levi interrupts him.
This changes things. We need to be working on Blink now. Those helmets are conceptually similar to ours. If MagTech gets to a working prototype and patents the tech before we do, we'll have flushed millions of dollars down the toilet. And there's no telling what they'll do with their design, who they'll sell it to.
Boris closes his eyes and scratches his forehead. It must be the sign of weariness Levi was waiting for, because he adds,
B and I are here, ready. We can finish this project in 3 months, if we have the necessary equipment. We can see this through.
Boris doesn't open his eyes. The opposite. He scrunches them shut, as though he hates every second of this.
Can you really get this done in 3 months?
Levi turns to me. I honestly have no idea. Science doesn't work like that. It doesn't do deadlines or consolation trophies. You can design the perfect study, sleep 1 hour a night, feed on nothing but despair and lean cuisine for months on end, and your results can still be the opposite of what you were hoping to find. Science doesn't give a shit. Science is reliable in its variability. Science does whatever the fuck it wants. God, I love science. But I smile brilliantly. Of course we can, and much better than those Dutch guys.
Okay, okay.
Boris runs a hand through his hair, harried.
I have a meeting with the director in, damn, 10 minutes. I'll push for this. I'll be in touch later today, but yeah, things are different with this.
He gives Levi a part irritated, part exhausted, part admiring look.
I suppose I owe you my congratulations on bringing Blink back from the dead.
My stomach somersaults. Holy shit, holy shit! This is happening after all.
If I convince the director there's no margin of error, you'll have to make the best neurostimulation helmets in the damn world.
Levi and I exchange a long glance and nod at the same time. When we step out of the office, Boris is swearing softly. I'm mildly terrified by this turn of events. If we do get the go-ahead, everyone and their mother will be breathing down our necks. The honchos at NASA and NIH will vulture circle on top of us. I'm going to have to explain to some creationist white guy on his 12th Senate term that brain stimulation is not the same thing as acupressure. Oh, who am I kidding? I wouldn't even mind it for a chance to actually work on Blink and fix all those stubborn engineers' mistakes. A chance that seemed long gone less than an hour ago. But now, I press a hand against my lips, exhaling a laugh. It's going to happen. Well, it's probably going to happen. But NASA's supposed to be chock full of geniuses who'll get us to Mars, no? They won't be so stupid to block the project. Not if it's a now or never situation. I have no idea how Levi did it, but Levi. I look up and there he is, staring at me with a soft smile as I grin into the ether like an idiot. I should snap at him to look away. But when our eyes meet, I only want to grin more. We stand like that for several seconds, smiling moronically outside Boris's office, until his expression goes serious.
B.
What is it about the way he says my name? The pitch, his deep voice, something else altogether?
About yesterday.
I shake my head. No, I... God, this apology is going to be painful. Humiliating, too. The colonoscopy of apologies. Better get it over with. Listen, you should have been more forthcoming about what was going on, but I probably shouldn't have called you a boob or a walnut. I'm not sure what was in my head and what I actually said out loud, but I'm sorry about coming to your office and insulting you. There. Done. Colonoscopy's over. My intestines are sparkling clean. Except that Levi doesn't even acknowledge my apology.
What you said about me despising you. About things that I have done, I...
No, I was out of line. I mean, it's all true, but... I take a deep breath. Listen,
You have every right not to like me as long as you deal with it professionally. Even though, let's be real, what's wrong with you? I'm an absolute delight. I give him an impish grin, but he doesn't get that I'm teasing, because he stares at me with a toned-down version of yesterday's stricken expression. Oops. I rock on my heels and clear my throat. Sorry. Just kidding. I know there's plenty to dislike about me, and you are... You, while I am... Yeah. Me. Very different. I know we're nemesis of sorts. Nemesis? Nemesi? Anyway, I got upset because I thought you were letting that dictate your behavior on Blink. But clearly that's not the case, so I apologize for assuming and feel free to carry on. I manage a mostly sincere smile. As long as you're civil and fair at work, you can dislike away, loathe me up, abhor me to the moon, detest me into the unknown. I really mean it. Not that I relish the idea of him hating me, but it's such a great improvement over yesterday, when I thought that his dislike would ruin my career, that I'm coming to peace with this. Sort of. Did you actually engage in industrial espionage?
No. Maybe. A friend knows someone who works for...
Levi closes his eyes.
Bea, you don't understand.
I cock my head. What don't I understand?
I don't dislike you.
Right. Uh-huh. So you've been acting like an ass to me for 7 years because... He sighs, his broad chest moving up and down. There's a tuft of fur on the sleeve of his shirt. Does he have a pet? He looks like a dog person. Maybe it's his daughter's dog.
Because I am an ass. An idiot, too.
Levi, it's fine. I understand, really. When we lived in France, my sister loved this classmate of ours, Inez, and I could not stand her. I wanted to pull her braid for no reason. I actually did once, which was... unfortunate because my French aunt believed in sending kids to bed without dinner. I shrug. Levi is pinching the bridge of his nose, probably shocked by how much I ramble when I'm still half asleep. One more thing for him to hate about me, I guess. The point is, sometimes dislike is a gut reaction, like falling in love at first sight, you know? Just the opposite. His eyes spring open.
Bea.
He swallows.
I...
Levi, here you are! Kaylee is walking toward us, an iPad in her hand. I wave at her, but Levi doesn't stop staring. At me. I need your approval on 2 items, and you and Guy have a meeting with Jonas in... Levi? He is, for unknown reasons, still staring at me. And the stricken expression is back. Do I have a sleep booger on my nose? Levi? Third time must be the charm, because he finally looks away.
Hey, Kaylee.
They start talking, and I walk away with another wave, daydreaming about coffee and a bra. I don't know why I turn around one last time, right before stepping into the elevator. I really don't know why. But Levi is looking at me again. Even though Kaylee is still talking. It's 2 p.m. I'm wearing a bra. Yes, a sports bra is a real bra. No, I do not accept constructive criticism. And sipping my 11th coffee of the day when I get a text from Levi.
B, I'm using texts since emails are unreliable. Your equipment and computers will be here tomorrow. Let's schedule a meeting to go over Blink at your earliest convenience. Kaylee will be there shortly to set you up with nasa.gov email so that you can access our servers. Let me know what else you need.
I can't help myself. I must have learned nothing in the past weeks, because I do it again. I shoot off my chair and jump up and down, screeching loudly and joyously in the middle of the office. It's happening, it's happening, it's happening, it's happening, it's... B? I whirl around. Rocio is blinking at me from her desk, alarmed. Sorry. I flush and quickly sit back down. Sorry, just good news.
The dictator of veganism released you from his tyrannical clutches and you can finally eat real food?
What? No.
Have you been able to reserve a cemetery plot close to Marie Curie's?
That would be impossible, as her ashes are enshrined in the Paris Pantheon and...
I shake my head.
Our equipment is coming tomorrow!
She actually smiles. Where's a digital camera when you need it? For real?
Yes! And Kaylee's on her way to set us up with NASA.gov addresses. Where are you going?
I notice her panicky expression as she stuffs her laptop in her bag.
Home.
But since the computers will be here tomorrow, there's no point in staying.
But we can still...
She's gone before I can remind her that I'm her boss. I will learn to exert authority, but today's not the day. I don't mind too much anyway, because when the door closes behind her, I spring out of my chair again and jump up and down a little bit more.
8. Precentral gyrus. Movement.
Fun fact, Dr. Curie's BFF was an engineer. Seems unlikely, huh? I sit across from the best and brightest of Levi's team. Total cock cluster, naturally. And think, who would voluntarily spend time with the engineering ilk? And yet it's true. Like turkey-flavored candy corn, pimple-popping videos, and many other unlikely things. It's painful even to think about it. But here goes my least favorite Marie fact.